And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at something that I've delayed a long time in bringing this to the radio, and yet it seems to keep getting in the news. And I feel like if it's in the news, it must be because certain parties are pushing it. And I feel like I should inform you of, well, of what's going on. Now, you may not realize it, but there are Satanists in America, many Satanists. It's been estimated that there are 2 to 3 million Satan worshipers in America. Now, I don't know how they came up with that figure because most of them are independent. Most of them operate out of little covens, little witches, Satan covens. And they mingle and meet with each other, but there's no real organization behind them. But there is, of course, a Church of Satan, a Temple of Set, this group has existed a long time in Great Britain, of course. There's all kinds of satanic and occult groups. And all of them seem to worship the goat's head. The goat's head. Now, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. The goat's head. I wanted to talk about it with you today. The goat's head. I want to talk to you specifically about the goat in Satanism. Yes, in Freemasonry, in world history, and in Bible prophecy. Did you know that the goat can be found in all these areas? Satanism, Freemasonry, history, and Bible prophecy. Let's just go and look at this a little bit. You know, just recently, a bunch of atheists from New York State got together, and I guess just to mock Jesus Christ and mock the fact that the good people of Oklahoma wanted to put a Ten Commandments monument at their state capitol. Well, the atheists got together, and really there's no true atheist. I believe they're all a bunch of Satanists. Sometimes they don't even realize it themselves. But they got together, this atheist group in New York, and they said, we would like to also put a religious monument up at the state capitol here in Oklahoma. We would like to put a statue of our God, the Satan's God, the witchcraft God, Baphomet. Baphomet. He is a great 7 foot tall goat. Now, he's not fully a goat. He has other elements, but he's arranged in such a way that you would think that it's some kind of a monstrous, hideous goat. His name is Baphomet. He stands some 7 foot tall, although I've heard of different versions, and some people have told me they've seen a Baphomet in their dream or in some vision that's 18 foot tall. He's called the Goat of Mendes by the Satanist or the occultist. And in Judaism, we see the goat. You find it in the Old Testament and sometimes in the New Testament. For example, the book of Daniel pictures a goat. The witches say he's the Sabbatic goat, the Sabbath goat. It's the one they worship. And what is his real name? Well, it's Satan, of course. Satan, the goat of Mendes. Now, I find this goat everywhere. The people, the atheists of the satanic group, that have asked for approval to put their monument beside the Ten Commandments, say they have a right to do so. This is a free country, and if you're going to put the Ten Commandments, which is a sign of loyalty and devotion to our God, then they should be able to put a statue up of their God. Now, I have to agree with that. If America is not a nation that worships the true Lord and God in heaven, whose name is Jesus Christ or Jehovah. If you say, well, it doesn't matter what God we worship, this is a diverse nation. We have many gods here. You can be a Muslim, you can be a Buddhist, you can be a Satanist, of course, or a Christian. This is not a Christian nation. This is a diverse nation. We worship all the gods. That seems to be the prevailing view today, doesn't it, friends? If that is your view, and if it is the view of most Americans, since we are a nation of a majority, then fine, then have these satanic statues in front of every courthouse and state capitol building in America. Go ahead. Sort of spoil the scenery for me, to be honest with you. But I don't care. It doesn't offend me. It offends God. I'll drive right on by. It doesn't matter to me. Put your satanic God up, your monument to him. They're only doing it as a reaction to our God, to mock, to make fun of our Lord and Savior. Of course, we have the only God and Savior, and they have to mock him because they despise him. They hate him. And they will have their reward. Judgment Day will come. Don't think that it won't. And you don't have to bring them judgment, and you don't even have to go and break their monument, their statue. When they put up the statue, they're really putting their name in lights in heaven. And God will say, put this name down for Judgment Day. These are hellish people. They want Baphomet, they will get Baphomet. He is their God, they will worship him. If not on earth, in hell. They think they're independent. They think they can worship themselves or some demonic god of 1,000 names. We will give them a god on Judgment Day. And they will worship that god. His name is Satan, the devil. Now, these poor people don't realize that. You've got to feel sorry for them. Don't be angry at them. They're just stupid people who mock the true God. Don't get angry at them. Don't retaliate. This is not a war between Satan and God on earth. The weapons that we have are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You know, it took me a long time to find that out. I guess I was a little dumb when I was a young man. If I saw a statue like that, I'd say, well, boy, let's go and just bang it to pieces. Let's get a big stick or a big sledgehammer and wham it. God will have vengeance. Now, this goat is found, believe it or not, in Bible prophecy. In the book of Daniel. Chapter 8 is very interesting. Daniel had a vision of a ram and the goat. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. Even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Uli. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came up from the west on the face of the whole earth. And he touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler or anger against him, and he smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped on him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Verse 8 says, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and from it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. I could read on, but you see, there is a goat. There is a great goat, an angry goat, and he covers the whole earth. This is Satan, my friends, the great goat god. Now, I'm not going to tell you the what happens to Satan in the end. I think you and I know. I've already told you, God gets his revenge. I just love that. God gets his revenge. You and I don't have to do anything. One time somebody was trying to trap me. It was a news reporter. And it was right after the Oklahoma City bombing, and a news reporter called me, and they heard that I was a member of a militia and that I was going to lead a movement to overthrow the government. All kind of baloney. And this guy was trying to get me to say that. He said, well, if you believe the government is Big Brother, then what do you want to do about it? I said, I want to inform the world. I want to inform people. I want to tell people. I want to warn them. But what do you want to do about it? He was goading me, see, trying to get me to fess up. Are you going to get a militia together? Are you a member of a militia? I'm not a member of any militia. I retired from the U.S. Air Force. I don't want to get into the military. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yeah, but don't you want to? He was trying to get me to say something on the phone. Finally, I told the guy, listen, God will handle all that. I just educate. I inform. I prepare people for what's coming. I tell them ahead of time. They know what's coming. The rest of the world is ignorant. You're ignorant. You don't know what's coming. You don't even care. You want me to say, yeah, I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Let God handle that. God, he knows what to do a lot better than me. Since that time, I haven't interviewed with any newsman like that. I get all these magazines, the New Yorker magazine and Look and Newsweek, and I don't talk to any of them. They're looking for some fabulously crazy statement by me. And they don't like it when I say, let God handle it. Yeah, but what are you going to do? I'm going to sit here at my desk. I'm going to go home and, kiss my wife. I'm going to eat dinner. Read my Bible. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to tell people. That's what I do. I work 16, 18 hours a day telling, informing people, educating people. That's what I'm doing right now, isn't it? Now let's look at this goat. We know the goat is Satan. That's why all of the satanic groups have all adopted the goat. That's why Anton LaVey had a great star and had the goat head within the star behind his altar in his Church of Satan. That's why it was the Freemasons, but it was before the Freemasons in France. And there they were called the Priory of Zion and by other names, but they worshiped the Baphomet God. Now, Baphomet is in my book. Let's see, it's in the Codex Magica for sure. Got a bright picture there of it. I believe it's in several of my other books as well. The Baphomet. Now, why did they worship the Baphomet? It's a representation of God. The God of hell. A representation of the God of hell or Satan. Now, why would that be true? Well, God gives us some answers. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the heavenly angels with him, of course, then he'll sit on the throne of his glory. And before him are going to be gathered all the nations. and he will separate them one from the other. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he'll set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Are you one of the sheep? Or are you a goat? Oh, everybody. There's no, you know, GLAD organization up there. There's no transgender goats, let me tell you, friends, or sheep. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. And God knows you. Jesus knows his own. They've come through the right door. He knows you. Everything about you. You're in the book of life. But these others now, they're on the left hand. The left hand is a picture of the devil's territory. The right hand, of course, is God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, in verse 41 of Matthew 25, it tells us what Jesus is going to do to these people he calls the goats. Then he'll say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The fire is prepared for the devil and his angels, but it's big enough to take in all the men and women. It's big enough to take in all the billions of people that have served the devil in so many ways over the years. Everybody on the left hand, all the goats, he says, depart, leave me. You're cursed people. And go on into the everlasting fire. How long is that? Everlasting. They going to be there for 10 years or 20 years or 30? Maybe their sentences will be reduced. What do you think, folks? No. It says everlasting. It means everlasting. And God's not going to soften up and relax his sentence. He's already decided. It's already in effect. If you're of the devil and you're a part of the goat herd, it's going to be everlasting fire. I know there's theories out there that say, well, no, everlasting is not really everlasting. Let me translate that to your text. Shut up. I don't care about your translation. I care about the Bible. I go to the Bible. If you don't like the Bible, then go somewhere else. Go to somewhere somebody will make you feel good that you're not really going to hell. If you're a goat, that's okay. You'll probably be out in a few years. Yeah, you will be. Don't believe that malarkey. It's everlasting fire. It's what it is. They're going to be thrown into hell. Okay, now, in Freemasonry, behind the altar is often found a symbol. Of course, we know about the symbol. It's made up of two triangles. One pointed down, one pointed up, put it together. It's a six-pointed star. But there's also the five-pointed star. Within the symbol, there is a G. And, of course, the Freemasons in their books will tell you what that G means. They will tell you that it means, for example, geometry. If you're a second degree, a third-degree Mason, or a first degree, they'll say, oh, it just means God. The G stands for God. When you get a little bit higher, it stands for geometry. When you rise a little bit higher toward the higher levels of the 33rd degree, then they tell you it means gnosis. Gnosis. What is gnosis? It's knowledge without God is what it is. To know without God. But you'll see that G there, and then you'll have an understanding. Now, I've talked to a Masonic authority who said that means the woman's sex organ. There was a book out some years ago talking about the G-spot. The G-spot as the woman's organ. I won't get into all that, but that just tells me that it's Freemasons into all these terrible things. Now, in the Freemasons, there is part of the ceremony, and one of the rituals is to ride the goat. Oh, all the men that are told in this degree you're going to have to come in and ride the goat, that's a obscene sex act, ride the goat. And they'll joke about it. It's just, surely there's not, I'm not going to have sex with a goat. Oh, no, no, no. They make little cracks, little jokes about it. And you go into the temple or the Masonic hall. On that day, they might have a goat there. They say, you're going to have to ride this goat later on. We're going to put a blindfold on you. Then you're going to have to, you know what? You go in willing to do anything they want you to do during that ceremonial ritual, that initiation. You're even ready to ride the goat. You're a sick man. But whatever they say, you want it bad because you want to rise up in the ranks. You know that there's rewards. They will give you rewards. You'll be helped by everybody in your community. You may get a car at a discount. You may get a job. You may get a job promotion. Everybody will know your name. Oh, yes, the Masons help each other. Satan's people all collude and help each other. Back in the days of Benjamin Franklin, I was recently reading the true story where they were so devilish in the Freemasonic Lodge, of which Benjamin Franklin was a part of it, that this one man in their tavern, he all the time talked about he wanted to become a Mason. And they said, well, are you willing to ride the goat? I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to do anything to be a Mason. He was sort of a dumb sort of guy, you know. And they would make fun of him. Finally, they said, okay, we're going to schedule you for your initiation ceremony. And he went to the lodge, and I'm not going to tell you everything that happened there, but they decided to give that man a rousing welcome. A rousing welcome. When the town constable found the body, they noticed that he had burn marks all over his body. They had tortured the man to death. There was an investigation, even of Ben Franklin. Franklin insisted that he had nothing to do with it, that he wasn't there that night. Well, there's a lot to Benjamin Franklin that we don't know about, my friends. He was a very wise man. You know, Solomon was one of the wisest men in the world, but look what happened to him. He got diverted by those strange women of other tribes and other nations and all the concubines that he had, and his mind thought of nothing but sex, evidently, and, well, he even brought in the false gods into the temple. Did you know that Solomon even required of the high priest of the temple to bring forth to him 666 talents of gold? 666. You didn't know that? It's in the Bible, in the Kings, in the Bible. Oh, he was so wicked. One of the wisest men in the world. Friends, you've got to stay close to God. We're in a very perilous situation here on earth. You can't go out and be doing your thing. You can't be reading books and reading magazines and getting all aroused and angry. And, you know, you're going to do something bad. Just stay close to God. Do what God tells you to do. Everything that God tells you to do. Keep your eye on Jesus. Now, a goat is known as a stinking, lusty creature. Now think of the goat's appearance. It has a two horns, of course, and it's got a beard, doesn't it? And the beard comes down like a V or a triangle. The goat and its beard. Now that beard is very important for people, and you'll find that many people in this world who are Satanists actually fashion their face on the same order. Well, Vladimir Lenin did, didn't he? Get a picture of Vladimir Lenin on the internet and see if he did not have the beard. There was an organization called the League of Just Men in the 1900s who were all Satanist and communist, and they all had that beard. Oh, yes. The satanic beard. Now, the Jews' sacrifice in their law requires chickens now, and cows, and goats. They sacrifice the goat.
Why is that?
Was Jesus not a scapegoat? Do you know what a scapegoat is? A scapegoat is one who takes upon himself the sins or the wrongs of the whole community on himself, and he's put out, he's excommunicated. He's sent out, sometimes he's just killed. He's the scapegoat. I think the Jews know that in their law, don't you? They have made Jesus the scapegoat. Now, you'll find this goat in strange places. In fact, somebody came to me and said one of the early King James versions of the Bible used these kinds of symbols. And sure enough, I found it in that King James. But the King James Bible is just words. If someone come and add all these symbols to it in the front matter and the back matter, well, they're just devils that want to demean and destroy God's word. And sure enough, in one of the 1611 editions, they have a face, and it's most definitely a goat. And the same thing is true of Masonic authors, and I suggest that the person that decorated, illustrated this Bible was just a Freemason, a Satanist. And he was very glad to, mess with the Bible, so to speak. We shouldn't give this any concern. It doesn't affect the Bible at all. I wouldn't have a Bible like that in my library to read. It might be a curiosity piece that I could show others, but just get your King James Bible that just has the plain words. The plain words. I don't like all this commentary. You know, the commentary of the guy can be wrong about what he says. I just like the plain words of God. Don't you, friends? Just get you the plain words of God, and you really can't go wrong. Now, the goat and Satanism. The goat of Mendez. Now, there are, of course, many criminal law enforcement organizations today. And any time you go to a city like Detroit or Houston, Chicago, New York, there are going to be policemen that have been trained in the occult world. And I know myself, I've been invited to come to various police associations and speak to the cops, to the police, about satanic crime. There's so much of it, so much all throughout America. Now, a lot of people can't believe it, but during Halloween, it just multiplies. In fact, did you know that most of the animal shelters close up the week of Halloween, or they don't have any adoptions? They're so afraid that people will come and adopt cats and dogs and take them out and sacrifice them to the devil. Horrible things are done to these animals. Well, one of the occult crimes books is called Occult Crimes Investigations. It's by Clifford Alford. He defines goathead as, quote, the symbol for death. The symbol for death, he says, is associated with Tammuz. With Tammuz. Who is Tammuz? One of the Babylonian gods, the god of fertility. We call him the green god, sometimes known as a goddess. He was a Babylonian vegetation and fertility god. He was a lover of the great goddess Ishtar. And there's no doubt at all that Clifford Alford has done a good job in putting him as one of the names of Satan, Tammuz. It's interesting that the Jews have Tammuz as the name of one of their months. Now I'm going to get into more about the goat in Satanism, Freemasonry history, and Bible prophecy when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. So you stay with us, won't you, my friend? Codex Magica. Codex Magica is one of my favorite books. And it's the all-time bestseller on Amazon.com that I have, Codex. It's all about the secret signs of the Illuminati, their hand signs, their handshakes, the way they communicate with their body, and all of their symbols. It's a giant book, over 600 pages, and I want you to have a copy of it. It's $35. But it's about the same as if you had ordered three or four books. And believe me, it will take you as long to read this book, but it's got fabulous material in it. It's got hundreds and hundreds of pictures in it. You'll actually see men and women performing secret satanic rituals with their hands, with their arms, with their bodies. You'll see a number of TV shows and movies. You'll see political actors and figures. And I tell you exactly what they are. In fact, I show you from the Freemasons' own manuals. Their own manuals. You know, over the years, many people have sent me copies of manuals. Their husband died, their grandfather died, and they said, what am I going to do with all these Masonic books and such? We'll send them here. We'll use them. That's how I was able to find out all this stuff, how I was able to discover about the 33-degree rituals and more about Freemasonry. Codex Magica, $35. And please add $5 for shipping and handling, a total of $40. And we'll send you the book Codex Magica, the magic codes of the Order of the Illuminati, and much more, of course. Now we see everybody from Lady Gaga to Madonna to Jay-Z, Knight to Kanye West. All these people using these signs and symbols, and they believe that their God, that is Satan, empowers them. They believe that's how they got their money, their fame, their fortune, by the use of these hand symbols. And in their videos, you'll see all these signs used in the eye, the all-seeing eye of Horus, the sun god, and so much more. But you'll find it first in my book. Read my book, then you'll be able to identify these signs. And you won't be kept in the dark anymore. Again, the name of the book is Codex Magica. Here's how to get your book for a total of $40. That includes shipping and handling. Just phone us toll-free during the work week at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to my website, powerofprophecy.com, or just go to texmars.com. That's quick. Texmars.com, TexMarrs.com. By the way, I don't know why some people keep putting more than one X in Tex. There is an E on the end of it, but it's just TEXE. I guess they try too hard. But it's texmars.com. You can order it there using your charge card or PayPal. You can also just send us a check or money order or cash, $40, and send it with a little note. Say, Tex, send me that book, Codex Magica. We'll send it out to you. We might even put a plastic coating around it so it won't get scratched or messed up or anything like that. We'll probably do that for you, okay? Codex Magica by Tex Mars. The only book in the world like it, I promise you. You won't find any other book even close to it. And it took me many years to discover these things and to put them in a book. And by the way, it's one of the best sellers among the Freemasons themselves. It's, you know, I see it all the time, number two, number three among all the books. And there's thousands of Masonic books. They buy it to discover what these mean, what they mean themselves. You know, the second, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th. All these lower grade Masons, they want to find out what all the big wigs are using. They want to find out, I don't know how, what they're going to do with it, but they're just curious, I guess. They're just nosy. You know, they want to find out a 10th degree ritual. A 10th degree Mason wants to find out what the 33rd degree bigwig is doing. Well, they best just stay away from that junk. I tell you, demonic beings can get on that. I've reported that to you before. In every Masonic lodge, there are demons who attend their rituals. There are demons that attend their rituals. I've had Masons that told me when they go to their meetings, they've actually seen demon figures. Not dressed up in costumes, real demons. I mean, the demons would love to go in those kind of places. Well, of course they would. They feel at home in a Masonic lodge. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. Our address, of course, as you know, is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's talk some more about the Baphomet symbol. The Baphomet. You know, the Baphomet is a strange symbol. You find this horned devil god, half human being and half devil. He's got a horrible beard, like Vladimir Lenin had, of course. Now, his arms, one points up and one points down. And he's got the index finger pointing up and the index finger pointing down. Why is it that he has his arms, one going up, one going down? Well, obviously, his left hand is pointed down toward hell, and his right hand is pointed toward heaven. It is the boast of Satan that he will bring together heaven and hell, and he will achieve victory on every plane, every material level and spiritual level. It's just an idle boast. It's just a silly lie. But it's found in Isaiah chapter 14, where Lucifer, yes, Lucifer, which is another name for the devil, says, I will be like the Most High. I will. You know, he gives five straight I wills. You know, I'll plant my, you know, star on the, you know, in the north, the side of the north. I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. Have you ever heard of a boaster like that? Think of it, a Satanist. In fact, Satan himself, Lucifer, it says right there that it's Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12. He makes five positive confessions. Now, I'm not a big one for positive confessions. Let me tell you why. Why do you have to make these positive confessions? I think you just pray to God. You tell the Lord what you want. If it's His will, He'll give it to you. He knows what's best for you. You can make a big mistake. And young person, listen to me. You may be just pining and craving for that young boy or girl. Oh, she's a dreamboat of my life. I want her so much. I wish she would fall in love with me. Well, I understand puppy love. I understand even greater love. But you know, it doesn't do you any good to make a satanic confession. Now, I know all these evangelists out there saying, make positive confessions, make positive affirmations, and it will come to pass. Baloney. The book of James in the Bible says it best. Don't say to yourself, I will go here tomorrow or there tomorrow, and I will do this or that. Instead, say, if it be the will of God, I will do. I will go there and do this or that. If it be God's will. Now, isn't that an improvement? But James he must have gotten tired. The brother of Jesus there wrote that little bitty book. But boy, it's packed. Let me tell you. Read that book about five times and you'll love it. Think about that. Satan made five positive confessions in Isaiah chapter 14. With his name Lucifer, of course. And none of them are going to come true. None of them. He's probably the world's greatest positive confessor. He's ahead of Andrew Carnegie and Norman Vincent Peale and Robert Shuler. He's all together in one. Satan is. the greatest positive confessor in the world. But he will not. In fact, the Bible says he won't. The prophet Isaiah said, your destiny is the pit of hell. You won't do any of these things. Now here is Baphomet, the supreme symbol of Freemasonry and of the Satanist, saying, I'm going to bring together earth and heaven. That's the meaning of the 33rd degree ritual, isn't it? The double-headed eagle? The double-headed eagle? There you have it. Eagle looking left, eagle looking right. He says, I will bring both of the kingdoms together. Satan's kingdom and the Lord's kingdom. You remember Satan tried that with Jesus? Brought him up to that high point and said, look, you can see, look down now, and you can see all of the kingdoms of the world. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give them to you. Was he lying? No, they're his to give. For now, they belong to Satan. He's God of this world. The Bible says that, small g. He's God of this world. He was telling Jesus the truth. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He's Satan's God. Satan is an errand boy. Yeah, he has all these kingdoms on this world, but so what? Someday God's going to strip him. Just strip him right from him. God's got all the kingdoms on thousands and thousands and thousands of planets. He owns the whole universe. This is just one world. Satan is God of this world for a short while. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If you belong to Jesus, did you know you're an alien, my friends? Yes, you are. You're not an illegal alien. You're just an alien. You're just a pilgrim passing through, like the old song says. You don't belong to this world. This world is too wicked for you. I have Christian friends all the time write to me and they say, Tex, I just don't know if I can take it anymore. This world's getting so wicked. Every day I see it over and over in the news. I just can't take it anymore. Well, of course you can't. It's going to rile you up. It's going to make you feel sad. It's going to... But that's the way every man or woman of God is. If you're happy with this world, then you're one of the goats. And you'll get your just reward. Don't be too impatient. You'll get your reward. But if you're one of the lambs, you belong to the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. You get tired of this earth. This world is so wicked and so devilish, and almost everybody in it. It's only a minority that are righteous. But don't be fearful at all, friends. Did you know that righteousness brings a lack of fear? In other words, if you're a righteous person, you're not fearful. But if you're not a righteous man or woman, you're going to be a coward. Oh, I've seen it all my life. I see, you know, it comes time to take a stand. I call around to all my so-called friends. Oh, and they say, yeah, we're going to back you all the way, Tex. Yeah, they're backing me all right. You know, 1,000 yards in the back. They're nowhere around when it comes time to fight. A good spiritual fight. They're cowards. I find out later, though, why they're cowards. This one was arrested for picking up some prostitute. This one, his wife has divorced him for adultery. This one, it turns out that he's beating his children at home. This one, I mean, this one's taking cocaine. That's the, you know, I just say, well, Wanda, there's not a big group serving the Lord Jesus, is there? You know, somebody recently wrote to me and told me that a friend died, a friend of mine. And believe it or not, I was happy for the man, happy that he was dead. You probably know him. Jack McLamb. That's a pretty nice name, by the way, McLamb. You know the policeman from Arizona, he died. Massive heart attack. His sweet wife, Angie, had phoned this ministry and told us that he was in a bad way. It is a strange thing. But when I got the notice that he had died, I was happy. It was very sad for Angie. I was very, very, it was, you know, no one wants to lose their loved one, but I was glad for Jack. And I said, boy, Jack, you got it made. You're already up there in heaven. I've got to stay down this dirty old place, this old world. But Jack, he's made it. He's already up there. And his wife will be up there too. She'll be with him. I'm sorry for her. Please pray for Jack McLamb's wife, his family of survivors. He was a real man of God. He was a great hero. And I like Jack because he was a hero, but he never claimed to be a hero. He was the most decorated police officer in the history of the Phoenix Police Department. The most decorated officer, but he never bragged about it. He didn't need to brag. He just was. And he believed in Jesus Christ. Well, that's my friend Jack McLamb. I just wanted to tell you about Jack going on to be with the Lord. About every week now, we're getting one or two saints of God going to be with Jesus. Good for them. Did you know they throw a party in heaven for you when you arrive? I don't know how that works, but it's true. There's a celebration in heaven for every saint. We're all going to die someday. But it's the righteous man who is not afraid. Did you know in the book of Revelation, it has a list of sins that'll get you into hell? Yeah, that's right. There's a whole list of them. And leading that list is fearfulness. It's not murder. It's not rape. It's not fraud. The worst sin of all is fear. When you have Jesus Christ, to be fearful is a sin. It's a worse sin than homosexuality or murder or anything. Because God says, fear not. That's what Jesus said, fear not. Oh, Jack McLamb. He went around giving seminars and talks after he left the police force, warning about the New World Order, warning about things. Somebody wrote to me and told me, well, Mr. So-and-so is out there bashing Jack McLamb. He's bashing him because Jack was exposing something that the Jews had done. He says Jack was anti-Semitic. That's nonsense. Nonsense. He can't take away the glory of Jack McLamb. You can't do that. You can't take away somebody's glory. They're already in heaven, friends. Now, let's just talk some more about Baphomet. Now, I've studied the architecture of Washington, D.C. very carefully. You'll find a lot of it in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Mysterious Monuments. And I show that how much of the world's architecture is based on satanic architects and builders. After all, Satan is a great builder. And the Masons call themselves the builders. There's a famous Masonic book that most every high-level Mason is read called The Builders. Now, in Washington, D.C., of course, the builders are very prominent. They helped to build it. They have to put it together. And what is Washington, D.C., but a great Greek city? It's a Greco-Roman city. What is a Greek city doing in the United States of America? In fact, it's an Egyptian city. is it not? We have the great Egyptian obelisk there, which is known as the Washington Monument. We have the great temple of the Congress, the same as the Pantheon in Rome. And you'll see all the great statues of the gods and goddesses. Now, you know who the United States worships from the beginning. They built Washington, D.C. in the form of a great Greek city because the Romans loved everything that was Greek. The Greek civilization took over the known world at that time. And listen to me very carefully. Many people believe that the last day's world religion will be based on the Muslim faith. Or maybe a rebuilt Roman Empire. Oh, no, 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 no. The great New World Order, the great last day's religious system, my dear friends, will be built on the Greek and its horns, the horns of the goat. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 8. We read there about the great goat who smote the ram and who was so angry with choler. Now, verse 18 of Daniel 8 says, "Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, 'Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be.'" This is the end of time, friends. "The ram," and he's going to explain it to him now. "The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia," or Greece. "And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom," read that to you again. "In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Even the mighty and the holy people, even the saints of God. Revelation 13 says that we, the people of God, will make war against him. But even we can't defeat him. It takes Jesus Christ, who will come. "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." No, he has the power of Satan. "And he shall destroy wonderfully." The people will think it's great for him to destroy. It's wonderful. You're a great conqueror. "And shall prosper and practice." And verse 25 says, "And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand." That's witchcraft. "And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many." He'll destroy many by peace. "He shall also stand up against the prince of princes." Oh, man. Who is that? Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. The prince of princes. "But he shall be broken without hand," without a human hand. Jesus Christ will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 27 says, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." He was astonished at the vision of the great Greek goat. In the last days, in the last time, when the transgressors are come to the full, when sin has reached its peak, you think this is the worst it can be with the homosexuals and all of these horrible things happening to us? Oh, no, no, it can get much worse, and it will. We already have this great Greek city in Washington, D.C. And the goddesses and the gods. Oh, there's Jupiter and Minerva and all of the great goddesses of ancient Greece and Rome. They're in Washington, D.C. And you go to the Fed Reserve building and look up at the, go into the foyer and look up to the sky, and there are all of the strange creatures of the zodiac. What is that doing in the Fed Reserve building? And building after building, you will see these statues. We are worshiping the great goddess, the great god, the devil in Washington, D.C. And we think we're a Christian nation. But we're not. Did you know that one of the statues that was built early on in our nation's history and was intended to be placed on a certain avenue, a circle where the wagons and later the cars would go around it. There was a statue that was built of George Washington, and he is sitting as the Baphomet. George Washington as the Baphomet. Isn't that strange? They knew back then, didn't they? They knew who Baphomet was. It was their god. It was the devil. It was the goat god. He's a sexual god, of course. In his head, he has a flame coming out, a torch. The Statue of Liberty, of course, has the same torch in her right hand. She holds it up. It says, come unto me. She asks for the teeming masses to come to her, the great goddess in the harbor of New York City. Do her words appear to be somewhat like Jesus, who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She promises, the great goddess. And who manufactured her? Who created her? Who was the sculptor? Why, it was a Frenchman. A Freemason, of course. That statue was a gift from France to the Freemasons of the United States. It sits in our harbor. Now, people began to recognize what that statue of George Washington was, and they took it down immediately, and it's now wrapped up somewhere in a museum, somewhere in Washington, D.C. But I've got a picture of it. In an upcoming book, I'll show you the picture of George Washington as the Baphomet. But look very carefully at the Baphomet in my book, Codex Magica. You'll see coming up from his loins, from the middle of his legs, are two serpents. Like the caduceus and the rod of the medical profession. Oh yes, this has deep roots in all kinds of professions. And there, coming straight out of his legs, are the two serpents. And the great sign of the circle is also between his legs, a perfect representation of Satan. That is the goat. The goat, the goat god of Satanism, Freemasonry, history, and Bible prophecy. Friends, this is Tex Mars. Been great being with you today, talking to you about Bible prophecy and the horrible things that exist in this world, and even more are to come. But you don't have to be part of them. You can escape them. You can be joyous and happy forever and ever through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Until next time, friends, this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in each week right here on Power of Prophecy and discover the powerful prophecies of God.